All right, I appreciate the choir and the kids and Tabitha putting together to let you see something beyond just the resurrection. In the morning hour, we covered the resurrection and the empty tomb and why the tomb was empty, because Jesus arose from the dead. But Jesus is much more than that. See, I had the privilege of taking this script and having it weeks and months ago. And what I did is I looked up a lot of the passages that were there. But as I was reading through this, and I want to give you a gist of what they were talking about. They were talking about a comparison of the old covenant with the new covenant. The old way in the Old Testament and the new way in the New Testament. And the passage that I came up with is, Viola read it, is Hebrews chapter 9. Let me read that for you real quickly. It was she read verses 12 and 13, but I'm going to read 11 through 14. To give you the context, but it says in Hebrews chapter 9, but Christ being come as a high priest of good things to come, he was our prophet and a priest and a king, by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews says a lot. It's a difficult book sometimes to understand. That's why a lot of people don't hear me preach a ton of messages out of the book of Hebrews. But it has some wonderful, wonderful truths that go along with Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God. For in this passage, we find an interesting contrast between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament way of sacrifice and the New Testament. It gives us a pattern of what took place, but it does show the inadequacy of the Old Covenant. Now, to this point, I'm not meaning to demean the Old Covenant, but maybe a better word would be to show that it was incomplete. You see, the sacrifices in the Old Testament, and Jamie and I talked about this, and there were probably millions and millions and millions of animals throughout time sacrificed for sins. But all those sacrifices of all those bulls and goats and the cows and all the sacrifices, they could not take away sin. They could only cover sin. That's why the old covenant was inadequate. But the new covenant, that was the blood of a perfect lamb, Jesus Christ. If the old things were good as symbols, how much better the real thing that they symbolize. If the external, physical, and temporal covenant accomplished its purpose, and that's what it was external, it was physical, and it was temporary, it accomplished its purpose well with Israel for years and years and years. But how much better the internal, spiritual, and eternal covenant will accomplish its purpose through Jesus Christ. See, the old tabernacle or the old covenant was designed by God, but it was made by man. It was made out of material from this present physical creation. And for that time and for that purpose, I think the tabernacle was very impressive if we could see it. I've got pictures of it. I've got a model of it. Very, very impressive for that day. And on the inside, where the people couldn't go, and they never were inside the tabernacle, I think it was impressive as well. It was beautiful, but it was only a tent. And it's not mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 9, but the temple of Jerusalem, well, though immeasurably more magnificent than the tabernacle that Solomon built, it was also made by men with materials from this present creation and was subject to deterioration and destruction to which everything of this creation is subject to. So they were made by man, But I don't want to demean it. But the part I want you to see is that Old Testament, that old covenant was incomplete. It could take away the sins of for that time. As they would offer a sacrifice for sin throughout the weeks. But once a year, the high priest would take the blood of as perfect as it could be, a lamb without blemish. And they would kill that lamb and take that blood, and only the high priest could go in. He would take it in, and he would take that blood once a year and put it on the mercy seat in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and he'd sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and then around the floor in front of him where he stood to cover the sins of Israel for that year. Year after year after year, that had to be done. See, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was a wonderful plan. But it was incomplete. See, when Jesus Christ, I call it the New Covenant, when he went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, he was a perfect lamb. It was a perfect sacrifice. And he only had to do it once to take away the sins of the world, past, present, and future. That's why this morning we don't have an altar here, and you didn't have to kill a lamb to cover your sins. Jesus Christ did that 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. So I want to look at that new covenant, that I call it the new sanctuary. I want to take a glimpse of what that new sanctuary is all about. Most of you know the tabernacle, and most of you have read about the temple in the Old Testament. But I want to take a minute, because Jesus ascended up into heaven after he was risen from the dead. That's why he told Mary, as I said this morning, don't touch me. I have yet not ascended to my Father. And he ascended up to the Father and did what the high priest would do. I believe he went into that new sanctuary. And he went to the mercy seat of heaven. And he took his blood and placed it upon the mercy seat of heaven. And he took care of the sins. In Israel, the old covenant could cover your sins. But when Jesus Christ did that for you and me, it took away all our sins, past, present, and future. So let's take a look, just three things real quickly. That new sanctuary. The new sanctuary in this passage, it talks about it was not made by men or earthly materials. It was made by God in heaven and use of heavenly materials. I believe the new sanctuary, in fact, is heaven. Heaven is the new sanctuary. Earth belongs to God, but heaven is his dwelling place, his throne, his sanctuary. His sanctuary and his palace are one and the same. And in this passage, the emphasis is on heaven being his sanctuary. Heaven is the perfect tabernacle. Just like the Old Testament, but heaven is the perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands. And Christ ministers for us in heaven, in the throne room of God, at the right hand of God. You see, this is interesting to me, that a former priest could only go into the holy place in the tabernacle and temple in the Old Testament. Only the priest could. And they would go in for the people, but not with the people. But the same was true of the high priest in regard to the Holy of Holies, where he could not even take another priest with him. Only the high priest could enter once a year into the Holy of Holies. But nobody could go with him. But our heavenly priest, Jesus Christ, will take his people with them all the way into the sanctuary. And one day you will see the holy and the holy of holies in this new sanctuary, because it's a place called heaven. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've been born again, he'll take us into the sanctuary of sanctuaries, into heaven itself, which is not symbolic of the presence of God, that the the tabernacle and temple were symbolic. That's where God dwelt among them. But this new sanctuary will not be symbolic of the presence of God, but it'll have the real presence of God, and you will be with God himself in this new sanctuary. That's what Hebrews is trying to tell us. The Old Testament had a purpose. The tabernacle had a purpose. The temple had a purpose to cover the sins of Israel. But that new sanctuary has even a greater purpose. That's to bring us into the presence of God, not symbolically, but into the presence of God. For Jesus Christ took his blood and put it on the mercy seat for you and for me. You see, we see that new sanctuary, a place called heaven. But what are the services that are going to be as the priest, Jesus being our high priest? How does Christ minister in the heavenly sanctuary? What does he do as our high priest? He probably does three things I wrote down. Number one, he serves us with his blood, for it was his own blood. This priest did not have to offer a sacrifice, a lamb, but he became the lamb, the perfect lamb, which took away the sins of the world. The sacrificer was the sacrifice. And so in this new sanctuary, we see the blood. Excuse me. That's why Jesus said, "Don't touch me, Mary. I have to ascend to the Father. I have to ascend to this sanctuary that's not made with man's hands, but by God." And he went into the Holy of Holies there in that sanctuary. He took his blood, the perfect lamb sacrifice, and sprinkled it as the high priest, your high priest and my high priest, and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, not to cover our sins, but to take away the sins of the world. You see, that second, he made one sacrifice. One time he had to die, and only once. And that once was sufficient for all people, all time. See, I believe Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross of Calvary and died and shed his blood on the cross, his blood was there to cover all of mankind's sin. For the Bible says that everybody's sins were taken care of. That's an amazing thing. That's why those 3 hours on the cross of Calvary, when it became dark, and God took all the sins of all the world and placed it upon Jesus Christ, and then he poured out his wrath upon Jesus Christ. That's why the students called it the propitiation. And when God poured out his wrath upon Jesus Christ for the punishment of sin, it satisfied the justice and wrath of God. Jesus bore all that for you and for me. That blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary, you know, he could have died in a number of ways. But he had to die this way because it was foretold in Scripture. And it wasn't by chance that the Romans used the cross. And it wasn't by chance that Romans usually roped people to the cross. They tied him to the cross. But for Jesus, they drove the stakes in his hands and the stakes in his feet. Why? That wasn't coincidence. Because Jesus Christ had to shed his blood at the perfect sacrifice and die for the sins of the world. Many have asked that question, what happened to all the blood? Did it just fall on the ground? I can't explain it to you, but no, it didn't. I believe Jesus took that blood that he shed and went to heaven in that new sanctuary and offered that one-time sacrifice, placed it upon the mercy seat of heaven, not to cover your sins, but to take away your sins for all eternity. What a day. See, he shed his blood. And it was a one-time sacrifice. See, the Jews in the Old Testament had to offer lamb after lamb, goat after goat, heifer after heifer, pigeon after pigeon, dove after dove, because it could only cover the sins. No animal can take away the sins of the world. But Jesus Christ became the perfect sacrifice. And he provided eternal redemption. He cleansed all our sins, past, present, and future, in one act of redemption. See, that's the new sanctuary. It's not made with man, by man. It's made by God. It's perfect. It's made with heavenly materials. Jesus Christ is the high priest in that heavenly sanctuary. He shed his own blood once and for all to give us redemption for all eternity. So what's the significance? That's the sanctuary. That's the services that Christ offers as our high priest. But what's the significance? Well, in that the old covenant, it was weak and imperfect. And it served well its purpose. But how much better will Christ's new covenant be in power and perfection to serve its purpose? The new not only has a better purpose, but it accomplishes its purpose in a better way, a perfect way. The purpose of the old sacrificial system was to symbolize eternally the cleansing of sin, eternally. Or excuse me, externally. But it accomplished that purpose. It covered sins. But the purpose of the new sacrifice is to cleanse us internally from within. That's where sin really exists. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The new covenant accomplishes a superior purpose in a superior way. See, the former priest would clean up the outside, but only symbolically, imperfectly, and temporarily. But Christ cleanses from the inside, where the real problem is. He doesn't just cleanse the old man. He replaces it with a new man. He cleanses our conscience, but also recreates our person. In Christ, we are not cleaned up old natures, but we're redeemed new natures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. For old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that sacrificial lamb, that perfect sacrifice, you became a new creation. You weren't just cleaned up old nature. You received a new nature, a perfect nature that one day will join a perfect body and spend eternity with Jesus Christ. You know, I read this story, and I'll close with this. An evangelist tells a story of the days of old when he had held tent meetings. And one day, after a series of meetings were over, he was pulling up the stakes to the tent to move on to the next place. A young man approached him and asked, "What do I have to do to be saved?" I love the response of the evangelist. He said, "Sorry, son, it's too late." "Oh no," was the man's response. "You mean it's too late because the services are over?" "No," said the evangelist, "I mean it's too late because it's already been done." You see, the man asked, "What do I have to do to be saved?" But there's nothing you have to do to be saved because Christ has done it all. You just have to believe. Everything that could be done for salvation had already been done. And after explaining Christ's finished work to the young man, he led the man to a saving faith. See, it's just a matter of believing. Our salvation is based on the new covenant, whose redeeming work, you don't have to bring an animal sacrifice. Now, if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us our sins. I think there needs to be a confession of sins. But Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross of Calvary, took all your sins, past, present, and future, upon him. And he went to the mercy seat. Put it on the mercy seat in heaven. Not to cover your sins, but to take away your sins if you'll only believe. See, there's no sin. Really, really, we're sinners. God can't allow sinners to get into heaven, but you know what keeps you out of heaven? It's not your sin. You know what it is? It's your rejection of Jesus Christ. It's not believing that he went to the cross and he died and he arose again the third day. He rose up to heaven and placed his blood on the mercy seat for you and for me one time only, forever and ever. If you truly will believe. You see, it's our salvation is based on the new covenant, whose redeeming work is finished. It's based on a sacrifice that has been offered once and for all, and that is complete and perfect and eternal. Jews had a hard time letting go of the old covenant because they'd done it for so long. But that old covenant could never take away their sins. It could only cover. But Jesus Christ brought the new covenant, the new sanctuary, the new mercy seat. And he was the one-time sacrifice for you and for me. That's why he's called the Lamb of God. And that one of the second to last song that they sang, worthy is the Lamb. Jesus Christ is worthy. Can I ask you one question and I'm through? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior?